Welcome to the Midweek Teas with me, Adele Onyango, where I share some random and not too random thoughts on things. And in this episode, let's dive into this self-love thing. Love is revolutionary, and I feel like self-love is at the top of the list of different kinds or forms of love that can completely change you for the better. Honestly, I believe this because I've seen it happen firsthand with me. Now, in the capitalist society we live in, you will find self-love being unfortunately pushed as buying a new skincare product, paying for an expensive massage or vacation, going to the salon or to the nail spa. You'll see tons of adverts pushing this as acts of self-love. It's not. That's just marketing to get you to spend a buck. There is a huge difference between self-love and self-care practices. This is another thing that capitalism and consumerism have bunched together, right? They've commercialized these two things and almost merged them into one. Now, disclaimer, I'm not a certified psychologist, even though I did study it in uni many years ago, but I did do a lot of research for this episode. Let's start with self-love. We hear it in our favorite songs, we see it in adverts, but what really is this thing? And it basically means that you have an appreciation, affinity, and positive regard for yourself. It's very closely related to self-esteem and self-compassion. And when you have a strong sense of self-love, you understand your own value and you treat yourself in a loving way. That last bit, that's the part. On the other hand, self-care practices are any action you take to improve your mental, physical, or emotional well-being. And everyone, you and I, we need self-care practices for us to function at our best. And we're going to dive deeper into a few self-care practices a little later in this episode. But first, we're talking about the self-love thing. And self-love is important because it motivates most of our positive behavior while reducing our harmful behavior. You'll literally see, at least I saw it for myself, the more my self-love increased, the more I was critical of harmful behaviors or even harmful habits that I had. I started criticizing them a bit more and erasing some of them altogether. So I find that self-love empowers us to say no to the things that don't work for us. You know, you can find yourself, and I'm going to bring it back, once you have a good amount of self-love, adapting better self-care practices. I hope at the end of this episode, you'll have an understanding of these two things and how important they are and how, man, consumerism has just lied about the definitions of these two things. But first and foremost, let's check in and find out if you have enough self-love or any to begin with. And psychologists have come together to create this list of signs that perhaps you might be lacking in the self-love department, right? And they're about how many things are on this list? 10. All right, that's a good number. The first one is perfectionism and fear of failure. I feel like this speaks to a lack of self-belief as well. Because one of the things that happens when you have a good amount of self-love is that you have so much faith in yourself that fear of failure doesn't play a role anymore. You also have such a high acceptance of self that you understand you are a flawed being, but you love yourself in totality. You know what I mean? So you're not going to be seeking perfectionism. So if you are seeking perfectionism or experiencing fear of failure, it could be a sign that we need to top up your self-love. If you avoid all forms of self-care and you just neglect your personal needs, I think that's self-explanatory. Self-love needed. If you tolerate toxic or abusive relationships, where I feel like this one is in so many lists. But honestly, I think it was like a TikTok I saw that said a sign of how much you love yourself is the type of relationship you're in. And I was just like, you're shouting. But it's true. If you absolutely love yourself, acknowledge what you're deserving of. This is not to victim blame, but this is to say that you will tend to remove yourself from toxic or abusive spaces. Again, this is not to shift responsibility from abusers, but it's a sign that there's a low amount of self-love happening. Hey, the next one. Quite a few people have this problem. So if you do, please do not feel bad. If you have difficulty saying no and you overcommit, this used to be me. Way? Hey, tenno with work. I just didn't know how to say no. And then I would just like overcommit to stuff that would end up exhausting me, or I'll overcommit to doing things that I know I can't possibly do in whatever. And by overcommitting, I'll even overcommit on deadlines, right? So let's say I'll say, yeah, for sure, I can do those 5 reports in 2 days. Knowing that that sounds a bit unattainable, but I would overcommit because I didn't know how to say no or stand up for myself. And then when I fall short, because there is no way you can hack 5 reports in 2 days, I would use the failure of me achieving that thing to beat myself down. Ugh, I'm so glad I'm out of that space. Where? But I battled with it. At the end of this episode, there are some tips that might help you. So stick around if these signs are hitting too close to home. The other one is comparing yourself unfavorably to others. This, I think I started recognizing I would battle with it because of the industry I was in. Being on legacy media as a radio presenter and being a woman, you get pitted against either other presenters on your station or like gossip blogs, etc., would like compare you to other media personalities, right? You can start questioning if you're good enough using the yardstick of another person or another personality. So what me I just did was, on all social media, I just don't follow any gossip sites. I don't follow anyone in my industry. I'm just honestly in my own bubble. And I started that a long time ago just to cultivate a strong sense of self, to the point where now, even if I see someone in my industry one way or another, maybe they explore tab or at events, whatever, doing something amazing, I'm actually happy for them. My first thought is not to compare myself to them. My sense of self is just so strong. Negative self-talk. Oh my God. Oh, this one is crazy, but I reversed it. When you do a mistake, that voice in your head, it replays it over and over, telling you how shit you are. Oh my goodness. For this one, I have a tip to help you with this one a little later in the episode. All right, next one, which is number 7. Difficulty setting and maintaining healthy boundaries. You know, like when you have low levels of self-love, you feel like anybody being around you, either like friendship, family, relationship, just as examples, are doing you a favor. So you will overperform, people please, to keep these people around, because having them around gives you a false sense of self. Does that make sense? And them going means to you, which is wrong, but means to you that you're not good enough. So you definitely will have no boundaries because you want people to stay. And this is even when you're uncomfortable, you will still continue doing whatever it is they're asking you for, still hanging out with them, even though it's uncomfortable, etc. Because them leaving means nobody loves you because you don't have self-love, right? Boundaries, so important. Number 8, seeking external validation and approval excessively. Shit, this used to be me. You know, sorry for the cussing. Actually, no, I'm not sorry. You know, like you have these moments where I never used to celebrate my wins because I didn't think they were valid unless somebody was clapping for me. As much as external validation didn't mean seeking it from strangers or an audience, etc., for me, in men seeking it from like family, my mom used to like validate my wins. When she died, I was looking for that validation from other family members, from the people I was in relationships with, like, oh my goodness. And now it kind of just hits me. The one person who truly understands how long or the journey to a win or the journey to whatever it is that I'm seeking validation on is me. So the person who needs to clap hardest because they get it is me. And yeah, that's something that is very dangerous when you're just seeking validation from people outside of yourself. Number 9 is engaging in self-sabotaging behaviors. And number 10 is this chronic feeling of inadequacy or low self-esteem. Like you just have close to zero esteem. You don't believe in yourself at all. And it's a chronic level. It's something that's very conscious. These 10 signs could mean that we need to up your self-love. And from my own experience, I noticed quite a few things after increasing my self-love, like really positive things that were happening. Like, first, I'm more willing to put myself out there and do things that I was previously super afraid to try and do, you know? So even like with projects, for example, even launching this podcast, our second podcast and our third podcast that goes out on Fridays, this would have been something I just would never have done. I would have negative talked myself out of doing these things, you know? But the more self-love I have, the more faith I have in myself to deliver, right? So I will launch new podcasts. I will put myself out there to direct a film. I will launch a second business. I will do all of these things that I previously thought I wasn't good enough to do. And so it's almost like self-love breaks you out of this prison you had put yourself in that was denying you access to your fullest self. At least I've noticed that with myself. The other thing I've noticed is that self-love has also helped me be a bit more empathetic to people. I offer a lot more grace to people now because I know there are parts of me that are not healed, parts of me that are not so good. I have a very petty side of me. I have a very self-centered side of me. But I know all of these things. I acknowledge all of these parts of me. And even while I'm working on some, I still absolutely love myself. Which then means when I interact with other people, I'm not expecting perfection, right? So I can extend grace to them. For example, I was recently ranting to someone close to me about a friend I think had done me wrong. And even in the rant, I was giving the friend grace, you know, I was giving the situation grace. Previously, I would never see anyone else's perspective but mine. I would not be empathetic at all, you know. I just feel it's made me, give grace to people, but find a healthy balance where it's not at my expense. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. I'm also so much better at setting boundaries. My goodness. If you invite me somewhere and I know either the place or the people will have me feeling uncomfortable, I just will not come. If it's unavoidable, I literally check in with myself first to see if I have the bandwidth. I vocalize the spaces that I am uncomfortable with. So for example, I don't like WhatsApp groups at all, right? Like literally my WhatsApp status is do not add me to groups. And I vocalized this. So recently a family member wanted to include me in a group because there was, a family tragedy, etc. And you can imagine it's a tragedy, but they called me and they were like, are you comfortable with me adding you into this group? Because I know you don't like groups, etc. And I was like, no problem. You can add me, but like use this number. If I'm invited for things, I don't say yes immediately. I check in with myself first and I'm like, let me get back to you on that, you know? And that's if after checking in with myself, I find that I'm not sure. If I check in with myself and I see it's a definite no, guess what? I'm not going. Another thing that still on this that I learned recently from my very special person is if someone asks them to go to something and it's like way in advance, they say, could you check with me closer to the date? I thought, ooh, I'm going to borrow that one. You know what I mean? Because maybe I'm checking in. Have you had those situations? Sorry, I'm digressing, but hear me out. Have you had those situations where extrovert you agrees to going for something and closer to the date, introvert you is like, what the heck? So that could help you. But I am so aware right now that for me to be my most comfortable self, certain boundaries need to be upheld. And so I'm constantly checking in with myself and I do not negotiate when it comes to my boundaries. No matter how unhappy that makes people, too bad, these are my boundaries. And I read a quote and it went something to the tune of, the only people who will feel disrespected by your boundaries are people who were benefiting from you not having any boundaries to begin with. It is what it is. Okay, so how can we get your self-love up? This is where self-care practices come back here. And having a self-care routine can help you get your self-love up. And let me make it clear. When I say self-care practices or self-care routine, I do not mean the consumerism self-care of nail appointment here, buy this expensive skincare product, come to our super expensive hotel. No, I mean, remember our definition earlier? I mean building habits that support your well-being. So this involves the intentional cultivation of habits and practices that contribute to your physical, emotional, and mental health. And how you can start to figure out what these things are is you could identify activities that bring you joy, relaxation, and a sense of fulfillment. And these could range from simple daily rituals such as a quick morning stretch. Moving your body actually does a lot for you feeling good about yourself. So it could be a quick stretch, quick exercise, meditation, or maybe it's commitment to regular exercise or creative pursuits. You could have a self-care calendar or a planner, you know, that can help you document all of these things and help you stick to them, you know. For me, my morning walk and meditation at my ancestral altar are part of my self-care practices, like legit. You know, going back to self-care practices being things that are habits that support your well-being, be it physical, emotional, and mental. I think I would also put my therapy sessions there because that does contribute to my mental health. And yeah, I like the idea of identifying activities that bring you joy, fulfillment, and then seeing, okay, is this a self-care practice? Let me put it into a self-care calendar or some sort of planner. The other thing you could do to help boost your self-love is all about self-compassion. You know how if a friend of yours makes a mistake or has done something they're not proud of, you will still treat them with kindness and care? You need to start treating yourself the same way you treat other people that you love and care for. True story. So like when you're faced with difficulties or challenges, or maybe you've done something wrong or made a mistake or something didn't work out the way you wanted it to, please do not blame yourself. I had to sing that so that you remember it. Instead, you could just like offer yourself words of encouragement, because that's what you would do to a friend or to a lover, isn't it? You would comfort them and like give them understanding, give them support. So do those same things for yourself. When it comes to that small voice in your head that will tell you, oh, this happened or you didn't do this right, so you're shit at this, and kind of like putting you down. When you get a negative thought about yourself, challenge it and then replace it with affirming words. Which brings me to affirmations. These are things that actually can help you boost your self-love. Maybe what you could start doing is create a list of personalized affirmations. They could be personalized to the specific things you are struggling to heal from or projects that you are doing. So if you are trying to start a particular business, you could personalize your affirmations specific to that, right? So create this list of personalized affirmations that resonate with you, align with your goals, and repeat them regularly, right? So you could incorporate them into your morning routine. Morning just because it can set the tempo for the rest of your day. Or maybe you have moments in the day where you do your reflections. If you do that, you could make sure you stick those personal affirmations in there and just do it over and over repeatedly until it becomes absolute truth to you. And so here are some of my favorite affirmations that I feel like you could add onto your list. The first one is, I allow myself to be more fully me. Next one is, I can do hard things. Next one, I am in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. That one's my favorite, by the way. And the last one I will share is, I am enough. I have enough. Obviously, those are general, but make some that are, as I said, aligned with your goals. The next thing that I feel like is important for you to do to increase your self-love is accept and celebrate your body. Listen, our bodies are our first home, so there can be no self-love if you have a strained relationship with your body. So instead of fixating on the flaws, start celebrating the things you love about your body, and there are so many. It could be, like for me, the fact that I just can't believe how much on my side my body is. Like when I'm sick, it is fighting for me. When my mental is not okay, it is fighting for me to get out of that. Our bodies are magical. Sometimes I celebrate my body not because of what it looks like. It's more of like, this thing is a machine. It is incredible. It is magic. It is powerful. And that I get to call this home, lucky me. You know what I mean? So yeah, accept and celebrate your body. The last thing that I think can help increase your self-love is boundaries. Oh my goodness, sang it so that you remember it. Please stop allowing people or things that make you feel bad about yourself to have access to you. They will sabotage all the self-work you're doing. So do not hang out with people who make you doubt yourself, who are so ready to put you down. Because if you hang around them long enough, you will stop believing the harmful things they tell you about you. That's just facts. So I need you to start identifying situations, relationships, or activities that just like drain your energy or compromise your mental health. So once you've identified them, take intentional steps to just set boundaries in those areas. This may need you to communicate your needs, may need you to start saying no a bit more or when necessary, or even just creating physical and emotional space when required. And you know what? All of these things I'm telling you to do, I'm telling you to do them because I believe in you. I think you can absolutely do this. Thanks for listening to The Midweek Tease, a Legally Clueless Africa production. Episodes go out every Wednesday, and you can learn more about us by going to legallycluelessafrica.com.